come again to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. Book of Romans, chapter 1. And we'll read again at verse 16. Where Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Perhaps especially that first phrase there, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is this gospel that he's not ashamed of? Well, I think a good answer to that in verses 1 to 5 or thereabouts, where Paul says that he is separated to the gospel of God, which God promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and appointed to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, through whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ." That's a pretty long section there. You could have sermon after sermon on each phrase there. And if you're Martin Lloyd-Jones, you probably would. He preached 5 sermons on verse 1 alone. He probably spent a year on the next half dozen. There's so much in there, but that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a nutshell. He also talks about it in verse 16. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why not? Because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The power of God is in the gospel of God, and Paul wasn't ashamed of that. This was the good news about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. It's the best news that Paul had ever heard, and he loved it, and he loved to preach it, and he loved to talk about it, and he loved to tell it, and he didn't care who he told it to, and he didn't care who knew it, and he wasn't in the least bit embarrassed about it, and in no sense was he ashamed of it. He loved this gospel of Christ. It had changed his own life, and he knew that it could change the life of others too, because there was a power in the gospel of God. And Paul knew that nobody could come up with a better message. Nobody could come up with a better gospel. This was the best news that had ever been told, and the best news that he had ever heard. And he wanted to preach it all over the world, and he wanted to tell everybody, and he wasn't embarrassed or ashamed to do that. For him, life had become Christ. He could say that to me, to live is Christ, and to die would be gain. That was what his life had become. It was completely consumed by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the glorious gospel of Christ. And Paul was thrilled to be able to preach it, and he wanted to spend the whole of his life preaching that gospel, and he wanted others to know that same power and that same Christ in their lives too, and he would preach it as long as he had strength to do so. He lived to preach this gospel, and he lived to preach it anywhere and everywhere and to anybody and to everybody. He preached it in different parts of the area in which he lived and in which he travelled. And now in this bit, he's talking about how he's ready to go to Rome also with the gospel. He'd been all around the empire, at least into certain parts of the Roman Empire. And now he wanted to take it, as it were, to the very seat of the empire. Wanted to take it to the capital city, to preach it in Rome itself. Because as far as Paul was concerned, there was no place that was too grand or too cultured or too sophisticated for him to take this gospel to. It had its critics, and there were people who thought his gospel was stupid, and who thought it was foolish, and who thought it was ridiculous that anybody could believe the things that Paul believed. and yet there's no way in which Paul was ashamed of it, and he wanted to take it right to the highest places and to the most important people and to preach it there in the great city of Rome. If he was alive today in our land, he'd be preaching it at Westminster, and he'd be preaching it in Hyde Park and in Trafalgar Square, he'd be preaching it in the Parliament building in Edinburgh and in Cardiff and in Stormont. He'd be happy to go to Brussels and Geneva and New York and Washington and be all over the world preaching his gospel if he had the opportunity. He would take it to the Kremlin, to the Vatican, he'd take it to Hollywood, he'd put it on television, he'd put it on the internet. If he could preach the gospel and make it known to people, then Paul wanted everybody to hear about the gospel, because he knew it was a life-changing gospel that could change sinners and convert them to faith in Christ. Everywhere needy sinners could be found, Paul was willing to go with his gospel. He wasn't ashamed of it. Why might he be ashamed of it? Why does he have to say this, that he's not ashamed of it? What might have made him ashamed of it? Well, you see, the first reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "We preach Christ crucified." That was his gospel. Christ crucified. He was preaching about the crucified Jew, the one from Nazareth who had died on a cross. And he knew that to the Jews this was a great stumbling block that they couldn't get their heads around, couldn't make sense of. And to the Greeks, the wise, it was just utter foolishness. They couldn't see the wisdom or the sense in Paul's gospel at all. This gospel just didn't make any sense at all. They found it offensive and they found it insulting. They wanted to come together and have great discussions about religion. They wanted to talk about philosophies and about the great things of life. And they'd come out with their lofty ideas and they'd say, "Paul, what have you got to say?" And he said, "Well, I believe in Jesus who was crucified, that he rose from the dead again." I said, "Come off it, Paul, be serious. You know, we're trying to be serious here, we're not talking nonsense. What do you want to talk about?" He said, "That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Jesus." They said, "But he died." And he said, "I know he died. And he came back again." I said, "Paul, we're supposed to be having a serious discussion here." And he said, "But I'm serious. This is what I believe. This is the gospel." And he said, "Get off your head. It's foolishness. Why, how on earth can you believe a thing like that?" And they would laugh at him, probably openly to his face, if not behind his back, because they knew that dead men don't come back, and the gospel of the resurrection of Christ was just foolishness. And Paul didn't care, because that was the gospel, it was the truth that he believed in, and he wanted to preach it, and he wanted to teach it, and he wanted to tell these people the truth that God had revealed to him concerning Jesus Christ. He told them that they were sinners and they needed salvation through this Christ that they believed to be dead. And they found that offensive and they found it insulting. He told them that they were sinners themselves, them. And he was willing to tell them that, and that through and through they needed the salvation of Christ. He said their good deeds were useless before God, and that the only way to God was through this crucified Jew who he claimed had come back from the dead. And he just couldn't make any sense of that. And to them, that was utterly foolish. And Paul ought to be ashamed of preaching a gospel that was as crazy as that. And yet Paul wasn't ashamed at all. And Paul did preach that gospel because he knew that it was the truth. And he knew it was the power of God. And he knew that it would speak to the hearts of some, and that it would speak to the souls of some, and some people would believe it and they would be saved. And he didn't mind who laughed at him and who mocked him, as long as people were saved. You know, right down to the present day, people laugh at aspects of the gospel. I was reading about a survey that was taken in 2002. They asked a collection, I don't know how many Church of England ministers, but of the survey, one quarter believed in the truth of the virgin birth. The resurrection, one third believed in it. Church of England vicars, that's not even the membership, that's the ministry, couldn't bring themselves to believe what didn't make sense according to the natural laws of this world. To them too, the gospel had become an embarrassment. They were happy to preach about Christ's ethical standards, happy to preach about the way in which we should live our lives. But not to believe the crazy, foolish things that somebody like Paul would believe. It was ridiculous and foolish and embarrassing. And they didn't want to know anything of it. And that's the same with the audience that Paul would speak to. It was shameful for Paul to speak like this. And Paul could say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to preach that gospel. I believe it. And I believe it's the power of God. And I'm not ashamed to preach it anywhere. Paul knew that it worked. And Paul knew that it would change some of the people who listened to it. And he didn't care who laughed and who sniggered and who sneered and who mocked and who ridiculed. He didn't mind who shouted at him and who threw things at him. He didn't mind who attacked him and sent him to prison. He didn't mind who whipped him and who tried to kill him. As long as he had breath in his body and as long as he had the ability to do so, he would go and he would preach that gospel wherever he had the opportunity to do so. This gospel that some people disliked so much. Paul loved it, and he boasted in it, and he rejoiced in it, and he gloried in it, and he thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever heard. He wasn't ashamed in the least, and he wasn't embarrassed. Why? Because he knew that the power of God was at work in his gospel, and it would bring salvation to everyone that believed it. He knew that himself from his own experience. Remember Paul, what he'd been like before, when he was still Saul of Tarsus. Remember him, how he's changed so drastically on the Damascus Road, and how the Christ that he had no time for and who he hated and was opposed to with every fibre of his being and went out of his way to destroy his message and his people. And God, in a moment, transformed him and changed him into a completely new man. Paul's life was utterly turned around by the power of God. This power of God he tasted within his own soul, and he knew the power of God for salvation that was in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He felt it himself transforming his own life, and he'd seen it transform the lives of other people as well. He'd seen God saving souls, seen the Lord changing lives and building a kingdom, building a church. And Paul was so very, very thrilled with this gospel. He'd seen men and women and children from every background, gloriously converted and saved. And no wonder Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel was so powerful in the way it could come to people and change their lives. People who had no time for it, and they fell under the spell of the power of the gospel. People who laughed at the gospel, Paul had seen them changed. People who had been so opposed to the gospel and who had been so wise and who thought they knew so much better than the gospel, and Paul had seen them transformed. And that's still the gospel that's at work today. Still the power of the gospel here in 2005, that's still saving lives, still saving souls, still that same powerful gospel today, still rescuing the lost. I was reading about there's a town in Italy called Perugia. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but that's the spelling of it. And there was a man there, and he prided himself on how evil he was. He was so evil, and according to himself, he loved everything that was evil. And everything the church spoke out against, he loved. Everything wicked, he loved. Anything to do with the devil, he loved. That was what he loved in life. And one day, Christian missionaries came to the town and began to preach the gospel of Christ. And the people in the Roman Catholic Church, they didn't like the gospel. And they warned the people not to go, not to listen to what these people were saying, because it was evil. And he heard about this and he thought, that's my kind of people. I want to hear what they've got to say. And he went and he heard. And he was saved. He became a Christian. Isn't that amazing? The power of God at work in the life of a man like that, transforming him from that evil-loving person into a Christ-loving person. I was reading recently too about a Kurdish girl in Iran. And this girl became a Christian. And of course in parts of Iran and parts of the Muslim world, it's practically a death sentence to become a Christian. And this girl had a brother who was a member of some Islamic militia group, and he was fiercely anti-Christian. And when he heard that his sister was claiming to be a Christian, he got his gun and he stuck it in her face. And he said, "If you don't renounce Christ and Christianity, I'm going to blow your head off." And she said, "Jesus Christ has saved me, and there's no way I'm going to deny him." And she took the barrel of the gun and put it into her mouth. And the brother was so shocked that he dropped the gun and fled. And 5 members of her family were converted that one day as they witnessed that courage and bravery and testimony to Christ. I don't know if the brother was one of them. The story didn't go on to say that. But isn't that the power of God? The power of God still at work in 2005. The power of God that saved a sinner like Paul still at work in 2005. Isn't that marvellous? Why on earth would Paul be ashamed of a gospel like that? Why would anybody be ashamed of a gospel like that that can so transform people? As Christians, we are called to be unashamed of the gospel of Christ, just as surely as Paul was unashamed. That's the challenge of this text to us. Can you say Paul's words? Can you say that for yourself? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Can you say that? The pure, sweet, old-fashioned gospel, same one that Paul believed. Can you say, and say openly, that "I too am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ"? Can you say that to your family, and say it to your workmates, and say it to your school friends, that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Just the Lord's people are called to preach that gospel, and to communicate that gospel, and to find ways of communicating that gospel to a lost world, to find an audience for it, to be creative in proclaiming that truth, and to do so without compromise. We don't need tricks and gimmicks and novelties, things that demean the message. Just the power of God lies in the gospel itself, in the simple truths of Scripture. It worked in Paul's time, and it still works in our day. And just like in Paul's time, there'll be those that laugh, and those that think it's stupid, and those that can't believe that in the 21st century there are people who still believe that, and can't believe that anybody would go around preaching it and putting their life at stake in order to preach it. But that's the power of God. That's the gospel of God. And God's power is still in it, and it's still able to change and transform lives today. And we need to ask God to help us to be able to proclaim Christ's gospel without shame, and to share it at every opportunity, to share it through personal evangelism and witness, and to encourage others to be here in church where the gospel is preached. You know, not everybody's good perhaps at apologetics and explaining what the Bible teaches, but you can ask somebody to come to church where the gospel has been preached and where it's being explained. We need to find ways of asking people to be in church where the gospel is being preached, and to read the Bible and discover the truth that's in it for themselves. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's no reason to be ashamed. So what if the world laughs? So what if people scoff? They've always done that. They laughed at the Lord Jesus himself, and they crucified him, and they put him to death. But the gospel lives on. They put Paul to death. The gospel lives on. They put Peter to death, and so many of the other disciples. They put Stephen to death, and the gospel lives on. They put the martyrs to death in the history of the church, and the gospel lives on. And if the world endures longer than our lifetimes, the gospel will still live on. Why should we be ashamed or afraid to preach the gospel? Because the gospel will live on with or without you and me. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It might be foolishness to the people of the world, but they're passing away, and they're so wise in their own thoughts, but they've got no answer to it really, and they've got nothing better to offer. And the Bible tells us that one day they're going to meet this God face to face, and then they're going to know that the gospel wasn't foolishness at all, and the gospel was the truth, and they'll taste that power of God for themselves, but it'll be too late to find salvation in it. What urgency that ought to give us to our own witness and our own testimony and our own preaching of the gospel. There's no reason to be ashamed. Supposing they do mock, supposing they do laugh, supposing they do snigger, we preach the gospel anyway, you preach it anyway. Don't be ashamed to preach the gospel. Be like Paul. You preach the gospel and teach the gospel and pray for the advance of the gospel and ask the Lord to bless his gospel and to raise up ministers and those who would take the gospel to the furthest ends of the earth and to see the gospel triumph in places that are still dark, because that power is still at work today. And the power of God is still at work today. Don't find yourself ashamed of the gospel. Do you remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10? I'll finish with this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If you're ashamed of the gospel, you'll probably deny it. Deny it by simply not passing it on, not telling others, not believing in it for yourself. It's a shameful thing to deny the gospel, or to be embarrassed by it, or to be ashamed of it. And those that are ashamed of it, God has his own way of dealing with, and God will judge. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Be thrilled with the gospel of Christ and see the power of God at work as you preach it and as you teach it and as you share it. And don't care what the devil says to put you off. Let's pray.